Be seated. We just been talking about that God teaches us to war because in life we are in a confrontation, and a very, very serious confrontation. Whereas we don't focus on the devil, because the scripture told us to focus on Jesus, not on the devil. But the reality should not be lost on any Christian that there is a devil out there who wants to ruin your faith if you let him, destroy your stuff if you let him. And so the scripture teaches us how to deal with that situation, and then gives us, shows us what our equipments are. And none of them is physical issue, because we're dealing with a spiritual being. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible says, stand therefore. Stand what? Therefore. Stand what? Therefore. So we need to be people who know that the beginning of the whole deal is to take our stand. It's not to chicken out and be complaining. It's to take your stand and refuse to yield grounds. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and have on the breastplate of what? Righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so the list starts with stand therefore, and then to guard yourself with the truth. And every teaching of God is the truth. Every instruction from God is the truth. Every word of God is the truth. So all these other weapons are revealed to us by the truth. So it is the truth that gathers everything together for you. It's the truth that reveals, teaches you about this and this and this. It's the truth that gathers everything for you. And besides that, the word of God is light with which you deal with darkness. If you walk in the word, you walk in the safety of the light. But if you walk in darkness outside the word of God, you walk in confusion and in the region of the demonic influence. For instance, the Bible says, he that hated his brother is living in what? In darkness, and he doesn't even know where he's going. I went further to say that if you hate your brother, you don't even have eternal life in you. That's what I was telling the women yesterday. That we must understand what Christianity is. It's about the love of God, really, in our heart and walking. And then the last days, the Bible says the love of many will what? Was cold. And I said, when your love was cold, you are falling from faith. You are gone. You're gone. You are gone. Totally out. That's where you grumble, murmur, find fault, and talk all manner of stuff. And find this and that. Do you know Super Bowl? Is that Super Bowl? What do they call it? Is it Bowl or Super Bowl? I don't watch it. I don't know what it looks like. But do you know, brethren, listen to me, that when people love something, they don't grumble about the price. If you start grumbling about things of Jesus, you don't love him. You are backsliding. You are gone. Because the Bible says nobody speaking by the Holy Spirit talks evil of Jesus. You are gone. Your faith is wrecked. Super Bowl. People pay $7,000. Is it? And more. To sit and watch People falling over themselves with one tiny ball, shapeless ball. More than $7,000. And you haven't heard the last. Under sub-zero temperature, they sit there for hours. They will never grumble and say, this is too costly. You hear it? And a couple passed the night in the stadium just to be able to watch a couple of men kicking themselves and pushing each other down. All they need to do is to go to Onitsha Motor Park. You watch it free. I'm telling the truth. The reason they do that is they love the game. If you love Jesus, oh my God. If you are grumbling, you are gone. I told the women, I said, read your Bible. It's there. It's, Jesus said there. He said, the Ephesian church said, you do this. But you've fallen from your first love. He said, you are backsliding. He said, see how far you are falling from me. He said, I'm coming to remove your light from among the churches. You are gone. So what God demands from us is to love him. See, because it's love that moves your heart and your whole being towards God as your treasure. And you can't have two masters. Either you love Jesus with all your heart, or you love something else. But you can't have two what? When people grumble about Jesus, it's a sure sign they don't love him. And because the scripture told us it would be so, that in the last days, the love of many, you're gone. Brethren, I'm your pastor. I'll tell you the truth. God will hold me responsible. You're gone. Finished. Your love is not there. If men will pay 7,000 to sit and watch, I mean, they are not even very rich people. They save the whole year for it. And you are grumbling about 200, 300 for Jesus. You have a problem, serious one. And when it comes to wearing gele, you don't grumble. You wear gele and the dancing. But when it comes to Jesus, the Bible says that if you don't do anything in love, you're like a drum that is empty and making noise. Say, remember where you have fallen and do what? Go back. Otherwise, I kick you out of the church. And when God kicks you out, he will replace you. Don't ever think that without you, God can do nothing. It's not true. God will do without you. He told me after 10 years of resisting him, he said, if you don't want to serve me as a pastor, he said, I will remove you. I will never disturb you the rest of your life. And you will never pastor for me again. And he said, I will replace you and do what I want to do. He told me this. He said, if you don't want to serve me as a pastor, I will let you go, but I will change you. But the rest of your life, I will never bother you on it again. And I got home, my wife said, my husband, she didn't even know what God was talking to me. He said, please, I'm begging you, serve Jesus. There's nobody that is indispensable to God. Whatever you are doing is his grace making you do itself. If he takes away your grace, we'll backslide immediately. Now, I don't even know why I went there. So, but the word of God is what? Let me stay here because I think this thing is not working too well. So I think if I'm here, more people hear me. If you can't hear me, you wave your hand so I can change my position. So the word of God is the thing that holds all the weapons, what? Together. Because that's what reveals to you with what other weapons and how to use them and how it works. And the word of God is light that lightens your path so you can dodge all the traps that the devil set for you. And the wisdom that overcomes the deceit of the devil. For instance, the word of God says to you, overcome evil with what? Love your... But you think it's foolish. You won't do that. You think you win your enemy by fighting back and you lose big time. So it's a major weapon that every Christian must be familiar with. And that's why you should come to Bible studies, Sunday school. As a Christian, you must mature enough to know the difference between what the devil is doing and what God, what? I was asking them on Thursday, I said, do you think it's the Holy Spirit that will tell you not pay your tithe? I said, where did you get that idea? It's the devil that doesn't want you to pay your tithe. So you start the church of funds, so all these beautiful outreaches you are doing, we stop. So that's where he's going. And after that, he will steal your money. Didn't you read the Bible that said, if you're unfaithful in the unrighteous, what? He said, who will give you the true riches? God said, I won't do that. Don't you see what the devil is trying to do to you? And you love Jesus? Talking of 10%, you go way beyond 10%. Love is measured by sacrifice. Love is measured by what? Sacrifice. For God so loved, what did he sacrifice? His only begotten. He didn't have two. The only one. The joy of heaven, it sacrificed him. The Bible says it pleased him to smite his son for us. I said, this is love. 10%. 10 years as a Christian. You're not hearing God well. The man that I mentored up came to my house and went to church. This boy I was mentoring, we went to church. And they were taking offering. And I was pulling my money out. He nudged me, said, where is your checkbook? He's the boy I mentored. He said, where is your checkbook, sir? I said, it's in the house. He said, what is he doing there? He said, your whole being, your whole money belongs to Jesus. He said, when I go to church, I bring the check to him. I says, sir, how much do you want to put for your money? It's your money. And as I was sitting there, the man was writing 1,000 naira. And I was looking for 20. And I was hiding it from him. Then I added extra 10 or 5. And the Lord said, that's not for me. Not from your heart. That young man became the permanent secretary and built a church in the ministry. And the government was paying the pastor for the first time in the history of Nigeria. So I say, you must grow to know what is coming from Satan and what is coming from who? God. Because the devil hides it, you think it's God. He even uses scripture to deceive you, confuse you. So that God says, as a man purpose what? His heart. So my brother, you give it. Don't mind God. No. You should read the scripture and be understanding that Paul was collecting money for poor Christians. And that Corinthian church, if you know them, very disorderly. Paul, some things that Paul wrote today, he didn't even write to other churches. He was telling them, they said, don't give from your difficulty. He said, give us your purpose, because I know your purpose. A free will offering, that's what he was addressing there. But he wrote about another church. He said, in their deep poverty, they gave beyond their ability. Read what the Spirit of God is testifying about different churches. One day I'll teach you about tithing. So you know that tithing is a mystery that God revealed to Abraham. And Abraham lived under the same type of covenant you are living today. That's why you are called sons of what? Abraham. His covenant is just the same covenant. That's why we enjoy the blessings of Abraham. That's why under Abraham there was no law. Under Christ there is no law. I'll show you the little differences here and there. His faith was given to us as an example of the faith of the church. So, the word of God is light. Everybody said that. And the light shineth where? In darkness. And darkness? Yes. So, it's important that you give yourself to the study of the word of God. It's so critical. You cannot live without it. If you want God to reveal his mysteries to you, it must be important to you. You must be desperate for it. If it's not a treasure to you, God won't give it to you. Because God says, I won't give my treasure to pigs. You say, because they don't value it. That's why I told my wife, when she was asking me to come for their meeting, I said, I'm not coming. They're late to come. I said, they don't value it. So what am I coming to? Waste my time. A church that doesn't honor Jesus, God doesn't bless it. Christians that don't honor Jesus, God says, if you honor me, I what? God doesn't bother about those people. A church that is miserly, that doesn't give to missions and sow into the work of God, God doesn't bless it. If all you do is buy, do things for human beings, God will leave you alone. But if you send this money to the field to do work of winning souls for him, God will keep bringing what? Yes. Because he wants all souls to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So we must be people who give ourselves to the study of the word, because the study of the word is the key that heals ignorance, and ignorance is the killer. My people are what? Perish for all. If you are ignorant, the devil will deal with you. He will tell you things you think is God, and you are having fellowship with him, but his goal is to destroy you. Praise the Lord. If you were in our nature and you know the riches of Christ's ministry, how influential that ministry was, how powerful. Growing up as a young child, I used to hear them. Powerful ministration. They were ministering to government. The thing spread all over the place. The riches of Christ. All they were preaching was Christ crucified, and the riches what God provided for us in Christ Jesus. That's what they're preaching. The thing was spreading all over the place, and people were being saved in their droves. Until the leader saw a so-called vision. And he backslid. When I came to this country, he came to me. I looked at him. I said, so this is what the devil can do. He's nothing near himself. Lost a wife, lost everything. He came to me. He said, can I come and preach in your church? I said, what are you coming to? Because of one useless so-called vision. That ministry. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And so the next thing that the word of God reveals to us, that righteousness is an armor. Everybody said that? It's an armor. I'm not talking about the gift of righteousness now. I will tell you where it belongs. But this one is a life of righteousness. Righteousness is an armor. 2 Corinthians 6, 7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left hand, the armor of righteousness. The armor of righteousness. Everybody say that. The armor of righteousness. Say it loud. The armor of righteousness. One more time. Of righteousness. Unrighteousness plays right into the hand of the devil. Let me repeat that. Unrighteousness plays exactly into the hand of what? The devil. And then last Sunday, we went through a couple of things that a Christian must avoid. Must avoid them. Because you can't be living a rebellious life against God and calling a rebellious spirit. They say, charcoal is calling kettle black. Because the devil knows us too. One time the Lord said to me, he said, do you know the devil knows you? I said, really? He said, what did the devil say? Jesus, I know. I'm Paul. So he knows you too. So he said to these people, but who are you? Because I know you. You don't belong to this group. Who are you? Unrighteousness plays smack into the hand of the devil. It's a very foolish thing to do. That's why the Bible says, do not be unwise. Don't be unwise, but find out what the will of God is. Say, don't be unwise, don't be foolish. And we're talking about a couple of things, like indiscipline and lack of control. Indiscipline and lack of what? Control. You just let your emotions run riot. The Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You can hold yourself. You can hold yourself. You don't have to follow everything you see. You don't have to buy everything you see. That leads to sin is addictive. This kind of unbridled life leads to pornography. And there's no telling how many, I don't know how many sitting here now, men and women who have been hooked to pornography. And they can't come out of it. I was telling one young guy, I said, you get into lesbianism, you're done. Because it's so toxic. I said, once you get into it, it's a struggle of your life to come out of it. I said, people who got into it, they will tell you the struggle they passed through. Because when it comes, they can't control it. It's demonic. Anything that you can't control is out of your control. There's a spirit doing that now. Anything. You can be addicted to caffeine, addicted to cigarettes, addicted to women, addicted to men, addicted to pornography, addicted to food, addicted to anything. Once you can't control it, there's a spirit controlling it. Somebody told me, said, Pastor, do you know your members leave church and go and buy coffee there? I said, really? So you can't even stay in the house of the Lord unless you take coffee. And I'm asking myself, how can people get to this level? Unless you take that thing, you can't stay. And you're not going to tell yourself something is definitely what? Wrong here. Because I'm no more in control. That is what dictates where I stay and where I go. And I don't care whether it's in the presence of Jesus. I leave the presence of Jesus to go and take coffee. Something is wrong. Addiction. Carry food. You are the only one who you eat every, in the church. Outside. Sunday, I don't eat at all. I don't eat at, for years. I don't know what is eating on Sunday. Until I'm done with everything. And when people go home, sometimes I just grab something quickly. I will still come back here and be with senility something to 9. And I'm not as young as you. Try it if you think it's easy. Trying to sleep, trying to rest from talking to you and all this. I bet I must leave because this service is 5. Sometimes I leave you at 3:30 to 4. I must come back 5. And we hold service to 7 to 9 the night. Addiction is lack of control. Games now is recognized. The greatest threat they have all over Europe is computer game. In South Korea, it's a disease now. They've now accepted that it's a form of disease. Lack of control. And the devil is behind all of this. A child that is doing well in school, he starts all this game, his grade begins to go down, gets confused. One of my brothers, I love what he did. He went to the children's room, removed everything, computer, everything, took everything out, threw everything out. And the children are top-notch. Making their grades because they don't have opportunity for that. Do you know some people are in church are playing games? You are sick. If you can do that in the church, only God knows what to do outside the church. In the presence of Jesus, and parents buy it for them. Parents, handing your child over to the devil. Tomorrow you come and be crying. Proverbs 25:28. He that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is what? Broken down and without what? No control. They will mention something like laziness, leisure. In Proverbs 24:30, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. He said, this man does have no understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof has been broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to sleep, so shall their poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Study the Bible, lazy. Go Bible studies, lazy. Go to church, lazy. Sunday school, lazy. Everything, lazy. You don't see any lazy man that prospers. No. Everything that is important, you get up and work for it. Do you know there is no blessing of God that falls on your lap? None. You can't sit in the chair and expect healing to fall on your lap. This, it doesn't happen. In the model that God showed us, in the shadow that God showed us in the Old Testament, he said, I'm giving you this land. You get up and go and do what? Possess it. Get up and possess it. Nothing falls on your lap. You can't sit there and be hoping that, hoping. No, you have to work for it. You get up and study. You got to study. You got to do what it takes for this thing to work. You go possess it. It's all part of possessing it. So even to know what you are possessing. Then we talked about stubbornness. There's always in every group what the white man calls difficult people. But that's diplomatic language. They are stubborn people. They say, you don't want to offend them. There's no political correctness in the Bible. The truth is what? They say we are dealing with difficult people. No, they are stubborn people. That's who they are. You always see them anywhere, in families, they're always there. In churches, they're always there. If you haven't come across them, keep living. Maybe you are one of them. Incorrigible. Can't correct them. You can't teach them. They live for themselves. They know everything. How can you tell me what to do? My mentor, whom I respect, he said, make a mental note of those people and watch how they end. He said, I've lived long enough to know what I'm telling you. He said, just make a mental note of people who are stubborn and mark how they end their life. Second Timothy 2:23. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. So don't argue with stubborn people. They won't listen. They will fight you. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel. Can we say amen? If you're a servant of the Lord, you must not quarrel. It's not an option. Must not quarrel. Even with stubborn people. So don't argue with them. Don't bother yourself. They won't listen to you. There's another scripture I don't want to use here. Because he said that wisdom is too high for... Since you don't know it, let me not complete it. I didn't call it. But now you call. So... It says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, whether they are difficult or not. Must be kind to what? Everyone. Can we say that? I want to hear you. Must be kind to what? Which means your word must carry kindness, even when they are difficult. On Saturday, we watched something at a family forum, where we saw that many people have been destroyed by unkind words. Many unkind word has ruined their life. What somebody told them that stuck to their spirit and they're struggling with it. And they told us of a girl who couldn't get pregnant after getting married. And the doctors checked out and said, there's nothing wrong with her. And then the pastor called and said, the husband, to both of them, she and the husband said, is there anything that I need to know? And the girl bent over and said, when I was young, my mother caught me committing sin and told me that because of it, I will never have a child. He said, since then, I've carried that thing in my heart. And I don't expect to have a child. See, unkind words. Unkind words. And people are hurting. People are hurting. People are hurting. Because somebody is difficult does not warrant using unkind words. And if you want God to walk, you speak his language. For his language gives grace. Grace is what somebody doesn't merit. Church, can I hear amen? If you understand me, say amen. Yeah. My wife came to me, announced that I'm coming to speak to the women. I said, and I told you I won't come. Say, you are coming. I said, yes, ma'am. Because this authority cannot be challenged. Once she says it, it is a God-given right. Because when you went to the altar, you said, all I have is now what? Yours. With my whole being, it's yours. She said, you are coming. Case closed. I came. I didn't want no argument, whether or whether, is that correct English? Why? She's my wife. She has the right. She has, it's her right. He said, you're coming. Yes, ma'am. If I didn't do that, if I'm here talking today, there won't be anointing on you. God will not, no. Because you can't dishonor God and expect God to honor what you're doing. I needed to humble myself and say, yes, ma'am. And give her the honor to her as a wife. Amen. I said, amen. Church, I said, amen. That's honor to her as a wife. You can't cut her down, cut her short, talk to her like she's not a human being. Say, what? I told you I'm not coming. No. Because the Spirit of Christ doesn't talk like that. The Bible says we should obey one another. We should yield to one another in love. Praise the Lord. And if you were here yesterday, was it awesome or what? Yes. It was great. If I didn't honor her and honor Jesus, it wouldn't be like that. It wouldn't be like that. Praise the Lord. So must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Be patient with what? Difficult people. Because if you are not, the devil will use it to cause trouble. Argument will ensue. Because they are difficult people. If you give them a chance, they remove their shirt in church. And before you know it, somebody is on the floor. So you don't want that to happen. So what do? You restrain yourself and be patient. Now, the next verse will open your eyes because the Holy Spirit says those difficult people are being motivated by demonic spirits. And that's why you should be careful with them and be gentle because it's not something you solve with argument. It's something you solve with prayer. So the next verse says, verse 25, gently instruct those who oppose what? Perhaps now God will change those people's what? Hearts, and they will learn the truth. 26, they will come to their what? Senses and escape from the devil's trap. You see who you are dealing with? Have you seen who you are dealing with? For they have been held what? Captive by him to do whatever. So that difficult situation you are facing and that argument and that is not them. There's a spirit doing that. And you go there and be arguing. The spirit will say, I got you where I want you. So we're arguing. I'm arguing, you're arguing. So we're speaking the same language. And before long, he will tell them, that man is insulting you. Remove his shirt, carry you on the leg, bam, on the floor. If you fight a madman, both of you are mad. That's why we must understand when God gives you wisdom to follow things, follow it God's way. He says, only God can change their what? Only God. Only God. Praise the Lord. Am I communicating? So you go to your place of work, they start arguing. You remember what the Holy Spirit says, say, don't argue, please. Be kind and patient. Let me tell us something. If God opposes to do something for you and you follow him, there's no power on earth that will stop it. When I was a pastor in Lagos, and the Lord told me, I'm taking you abroad. And I told Pastor Tunde, that's every time the Lord is telling me I'm going abroad. And I don't know where I'm supposed to be going. They were discussing, he said, maybe it's a training or something. So one opportunity came. And our senior pastor called me, he said, Pastor, I want to put your name. You are going to Denmark or something for a training. I said, okay. All right. So they put my name. And we were getting ready. And that was the last time I had it. They removed my name after and put their friend's name. And they went to Denmark or whatever, Holland or something, and came back. Listen to me. I didn't even go to him and say, sir, I came here and gave you my name. So what happened to it? Up to today. Where am I living now? Talk to me. Where am I living now? If you will back off and let God be God, he will make a way even where there's no way. If you learn to back off, stop all this argument. I could go to him and say, sir, you put my name. Why did they do this to me? Eh? Who did this to me? Who removed my name from there? This is unfair. You shouldn't have done this. Blah, 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 blah. And then, blah, 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 blah. And I said things that will hurt me because it's my senior pastor. I need to honor him. But God is my witness. I never even remembered it. It didn't cross my mind. I was too busy. I was so busy serving Jesus. I didn't remember Holland or whatever they call it. Then we are praying one early morning. The director of missions, Remy Lawanson, he's in California. Call him and find out. He came early in the morning, pop, 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 before we could pray. I said, sir, you come to visit. He said, I want to talk to you. He said, the Lord won't even let me pray. He woke me up and said, you go tell that man to get ready. I'm sending him abroad. I said, sir, did he tell you where? He said, he didn't tell me. I said, he's been telling me the same thing. I don't know where. I said, but he told me your time in Nigeria is over. He said, you know, when you play football and the time is over and they play that extra time, what do they call it? I said, it's extra time. He said, your extra time and you are no more the pastor of that church. I said, I knew the day I left. I knew when I left that church. I didn't need to be told. That very day my spirit left. I called Pastor Tim. I said, you sit in this, you know, Pastor. I'm done with you. Fighting over things is lack of wisdom. He told me, I told him. They told me, I told you. They didn't tell me, they didn't tell you. Why are you taking my this, taking my that? If you take it, I'll tell my brother. We pray for you. The Bible said, in quietness and what? Confidence, you will possess your possession. Don't need to make noise. Let God arise and his aid. Give him chance to arise. Give him chance to what? If he made you a promise, it is yea and amen. Nobody can. Who born the person? Where did they come from? I can tell you my life story, a lot of it. You go to bed and sleep. Give it his. Devils, they are meeting. Who cares about their meeting? I don't care about their meeting. They don't amount to a pack of beasts. I have fellowship with Jesus. And the greater one is with me. And if God be for me, all their meeting is worth nothing. There is no device against Jacob, no incantation. They are wasting their time. Can I hear amen? So, the next thing, righteousness is a weapon. Did we say that? Yes. And so, unrighteousness will expose you to defeat. The Bible says, okay, look at the summary of this thing that the scripture says here. 1 Peter 3:10. 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see what? How many of us love life? And you want to see good days? Lift up your hand. Let me see. Lord, this is how the people, they want to see good days. Say amen. Oh, yeah. Okay, listen to what the Holy Spirit says. Abraham blesses him, and God says, I understand. See what he says. Let him refrain his tongue from what? But you won't. You won't. Because I must say my mind. Say your mind, you will see good days. Be saying your mind now. Is anybody fighting? After saying your mind, the good days are watching you. I say, I'm not coming. Because we told you to refrain your tongue from speaking. That's why the Bible says, deal kindly with those who are difficult. Let your word be with grace. It doesn't deserve it, but say it all the same. Why? You want good days? You want good days? Good days. And God said, this is the way it works for me. If you have any other ideas, enjoy yourself. But me, God, this is the way it works for me. And you know, all these scriptures that they are lifting them from Old Testament. You know, the people that wrote this thing didn't have any other thing to read except the book. This thing is lifted back from Old Testament. The Spirit of God lifted it to the church. He said, this is still relevant for you. And he says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no. What is guy? Lies. Now I'm in your backyard. But why didn't you come to church? Pastor, you know, hey, Pastor, if I tell you, you won't understand. He said, no, it's laziness, period. Just tell me, Pastor, I'm lazy. Or I don't know the value of church. That's why I pick and do. Those who go to Super Bowl pay 7,000. They know the value of that thing to them. You know, we think that lying has benefit to it. Can I tell us the truth? Every word of a lie is a vain word. It has no benefit to it because God is not behind it. And if God is not behind it, though there's a building, are doing what? Wasting their time. It's better that you say the truth, lose your job. And God will give you another one. That you are lying there and piling up trouble for yourself. One brother went to the company and told them, he said, I've been stealing your money. They said, really? And you're a Christian? He said, I'm sorry. So how much did he steal? He told them, they said, it's too much. So we are fired. He said, okay. So the general manager called him, he said, no, you are not fired. If you fire you, how do you pay back? So we retain you. I'll be paying you, I'll be deducting it from. So the brother said, praise the Lord. If God is not, if what you are saying is not righteous, the Holy Spirit will not have anything to do with it. Absolutely, he will distance himself. Absolutely nothing. And it will have no benefit to you at all. All this trying to manipulate people is demonic. That's what this devil does. He tries to manipulate our mind with all manner of concussion, deceit, and stuff like that. Moreover, the person you are lying to inside knows you are lying. May not know exactly, but there's a witness in his spirit that this person is lying to me. And then your integrity goes out. Tell me one benefit from lying. But we say it's what we use. It's our present help in times of trouble. And the Bible says, you want to see good days? You want the Spirit of God to engage in your life? Stop telling lies, because he's not a liar. Lying is the devil's language. They talked about Jesus, said there was no guile found where his mouth. That was why if he spoke, he walked. The book of James said, you can't be misusing your tongue and expect to spread the power of God. He says, bitter water and sweet water do not flow from the censer. We read those things, we think it's a joke. You think the devil will listen because you're yelling. The scripture cannot be broken. Church, make up your mind to live this life. Or leave. Leave the church alone. If you are not interested, just leave the church alone. If you want to eat a toad, do what? Eat a fat and juicy one and get the benefit out of it. Then verse 11. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek what? Peace and eschew. That's why I said, difficult people, be patient with them. Because you want to see good days. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. What are you doing with resentment? It will kill you. It will kill you. Oh, you know what they did to me? And your face is looking exactly like the devil's. Pastor, if you know what they did to me, keep it. Good days is not coming. Hold it now. They told me about one doctor that died. They say why was it? He refused to. They won't. What the wife did, they went to see her. And then the situation deteriorated. They still brought the same wife to him. It was the wife that lost him until he died. See what pride does? Blinds people. Arrogance is the devil. The Bible says it's the trap of Satan. He holds you there and you won't listen to anybody. They say those that the gods want to kill, they face what? Make what? Death. The gods talking about demons. My mentor, I respect that man. He said, make a mental note of those stubborn people. He said, see how they are. So righteousness is a big armor for us. Can I hear amen? And it's something we can always walk in. It's a choice. Because now we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Then the next weapon they gave us is the gospel. The preparation of your feet. Your feet with the gospel of what? Peace. Your feet with the gospel of what? Peace. Your feet with the gospel of what? Peace. Come. Your feet with the gospel of what? So you use your feet to do spiritual karate. So you lift your... If my trousers are tears here, you buy another one. No, I won't do this anymore. We tear my face either. Huh? Is that your plan? With my trousers to tear. So what I'm trying to say is, your feet, you use your feet. Pah. 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 No, don't fall, my friend. Karate. Pa. Pa. The one I'm kicking doesn't want to fall down. Pa. Yeah. You can sit down. I'm just trying to demonstrate your feet, what it does for you. Pew. Pew. And pew. Because we use the gospel to attack the devil. We use the gospel to what? Attack the devil. We bring it to where they're in darkness. And we preach it to them. We put them out of darkness, out of the control of Satan, into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We use it to attack the devil. We go to his kingdom, bring the gospel and the power of God. The gospel is the power of God that saves people, pulls them out. That's one of the greatest attack weapons the church has. To preach what? The gospel. But we're not using it now. We think it's only for missionaries. Sister Carol passed here, her sister said to me, "said that sister, she's really on fire." He said, "Missions, so winning." I said, "You can say it again." We should be passionate that people should know we're passionate for souls. Everybody should identify us in our place of work. They say, all we talk about is what? Jesus. Because we're attacking the devil. The greatest thing you would do to hurt the devil, those people who are opposing you, is to pray them into the kingdom. You snatch them like from fire. Boom. Pshaw. Because they are the children of Satan. You go take a child from him, make him a child of God. Praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. We must be known as people who are passionate for souls, because that's a weapon. That's a weapon. Instead of complaining and they do it. No. You pray, Lord, this one has to be saved. If you won't hear me, there is somebody here where I will pray until you send the laborer to harvest that soul. It's that soul, I am Satan, you haven't seen anything, you are losing it. And one day the same person will come to you and say, praise the Lord. He said, what did you say? He said, I said, praise the Lord. I'm now born again. You know what has happened? You snatch the person from fire by the power of the gospel. So why are we not using that weapon? If I ask you how many of you have preached the gospel in the last 1 year, not many hands will go up. You want me to ask? Nobody is saying anything. Do you want me to ask? Yes. Yes. I'm going to ask. Yes. No, I won't ask. Acts chapter 26:18. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, to turn them from power of Satan, power to power of God. You don't do that through the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:23. But we preach Christ crucified. We preach who? Christ crucified. Can we say it together? Can we say it together? One more time. It says, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Somebody say, you preach Jesus too much. You're foolish. You don't know what you're talking about. That's our life. That's our wisdom. It's in him we live, move, and do what? If you don't know Jesus, you don't know your address. So we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews is a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, we that are Christians, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is what? The power of God and the wisdom of God. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. Then Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto that saves everyone that believes it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the preparation of the gospel of peace is what we take into, we go into the devil's den and we attack him with the gospel, and souls are saved from his grip. Then the shield of faith. The shield of what? Faith. I want to hear this side say it. No. Teach them how to say it. Let me hear you. Everybody, now let's say it together. The shield of faith is what you have out of understanding and believing every gift of grace that God gave you. Every gift of grace that God made available to you. Every gift of grace. The gift of righteousness. That's why I said, the other righteousness is the act of righteousness. Under this one comes the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness, gift of eternal life, gift of health, gift of blessings, gift, all the gifts of God is what you use to build your shield of what? Why? Because that's what the devil wants to steal from you. He wants you to drop them and do without them. Look at Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. So we look unto Jesus because that's where our faith comes from. It's on him we build our faith. That's why I can't know enough of Jesus. Paul said, I want to know. His ambition in life was to know Christ. I want to know him. Every day he was writing it, I want to know him. Because he found in Jesus meaning of life. He said, he's my life. He's my completeness. He's my all. All. I don't have anything outside of him. Psalm 91 verse 4. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his what? Wings. His faithful promises are your what? Armor and what? Protection. His faithful promises are your what? Armor and what again? Protection. That's the shield of faith. It's built by these promises. You build it up and understand them and know them and confess them. You got to do that. It's your armor of faith. Shield of faith that comes up. Those faithful promises. The Spirit of God said, that's your armor and your protection. Then verse 9, Psalm 91 verse 9. If you make the Lord your refuge, it's conditional. If you make the Lord what? If you make the Most High your shelter, it's conditional. You have to make Jesus your refuge. You have to take what is given, what is armed with. You know, yesterday we were coming here, my son Hugo was sharing with me what they were taught at the youth meeting, which was so impressive. He was recounting those teachings. The thing blessed him a lot. So he said that, let me share with you. It blessed me. It's about Moses and what they had in his hand. And I was so happy because he went there to listen and he was able to share with me. So after we shared all of that, he said, but daddy, I want to tell you something. I said, what's that? He said, do you know that rod represents Christ? I said, yeah. I said, but Moses didn't know what he had. I said, the church doesn't know what they have either. And God reminded Moses that you have the rod. The rod of who? Jesse. That's my little boy. He said, daddy, that's Jesus. Represent Jesus. I said, yeah. Because the race is parted and the Bible causes, it's like we pattern and moving into water, baptized in water. That's a small boy. If you make the Lord what? If you know what God has put in your hand, it will part any sea for you. At the name of Jesus, every knee. If you know what God put in your hand. And every single time you start yelling at God, God will be asking you, what do you have? What? In your hand. In the wilderness, they were hungry. Jesus said to them, what do you have? They brought bread and fish, representing Christ, the manna. That if you eat him in the wilderness of life, you will not thirst. Did you know they ate that thing? It was water, it was everything. Jesus, the only hope of glory. Church, say amen. If you make him. Conditional. So what will happen if I make him? Verse 10. Psalm 91, verse 10. No evil will conquer you. And no plague will come, including flu. Somebody says at the federal government in Washington that the word of God is a flu shot. The praise finished him. They were abusing the man. They brought religion here. But what the man said is true. He said the word of God is a flu shot. They say you depend on it, it heals you. The first time I heard that in the government, the man, they brought him and took knife and cut him to pieces. But is it not what the Bible says? That the word of God is God's medicine. If you find it, it becomes health. Praise the Lord. So Paul said to Timothy, he said, be strong. Be strong. Everybody say that. Be strong. Say it again. Be strong. He said, be strong in 1 Timothy 2:1. Be strong. 1 Timothy 2:1. So you, my son, be strong. Strengthened inwardly in the grace, spiritual blessing that is to be found only in Christ Jesus. Must be strong. Because if the promises will stop the plague and things, you must be strong in knowing them. And these promises, how does it work? You must have it in you. You must have it where? Not as a church doctrine only, but a living truth that you live by. That's what the Bible studies will help you do. That's what Sunday school will help you do. That when you the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit consists of this teaching by teachers he has placed over you, and consists of his revelation he will give you. But every one of them is important. You can't get this thing grounded unless you continue in it. That's what Jesus said. If you continue in my, yes, that's why the Holy Spirit said to Timothy, said, if you remind them of these things, you'll be a good teacher. One time the Lord said to me, he said, I would rather that you go slow and remind them over and over than that you rush and they got nothing. He said, sometimes it takes them a couple of times to even hear what they're saying. So he said, I would rather you take it slow. He said, don't be in a hurry. Remind them. Just do what I told you. Keep repeating it. He said, sometimes their ear pops open at the fourth time. Did you hear about the young Muslim that gave his life to Christ? He was in the Sunday school class for 6 years. They were teaching the same thing. Brethren, listen to this. The same thing for 6 years. In the sixth year, the thing penetrated his spirit. The moment he penetrated his spirit, he could not stop talking about Jesus. He went to their family, started preaching Christ, went to everywhere, started telling them about Jesus. He said, 6 years I was sitting here and they were saying this thing. But on the sixth year, and then later I was sharing. He said, the reason that Christians are not effective is that they love themselves, not Jesus. He said, listen. He said, Paul said, I'm ready to die for Jesus. He said, I preached in Lebanon. He said, they came where we were preaching, took my colleague and killed him. He said, they can kill me tomorrow. He said, I am ready to die for Jesus. He said, that gospel got into me and I can't do it. He said, you can't even stop me. They brought him to America here because they wanted to kill him. So missionaries took him from Middle East to America and put him in school, paid everything. He graduated with first class and everything. Packed his bag, went back there. And they were asking him, he said, what? So you are not afraid of your life? He said, afraid of what? He said, if you know the gospel, you won't be afraid. You preach. He said, this is the message. He said, the point is, you can't even stop me. He's pushing me. They said, supposing they kill you. He said, they've killed my colleague. He said, if they kill me today, I go and be with Jesus. He said, I preach it to them. He said, Christians don't know Christ enough and the value of Jesus. That's why they're playing safe. He said, they will never, never influence the world with that kind of mindset. The only mindset that influences the world is, if I perish, do you know what Esther used to change the world? It's the same mindset. All this playing safe, coming to church at leisure, that's not the mindset.
6 years. Some of you hear this thing 1 year, it hasn't even penetrated. You think you hear it? No. If it penetrates you, Peter said you keep hearing until the daylight breaks. When it breaks, you don't need Pastor Chinedu to tell you there will be instant result. Your life will turn. Because the word of God is powerful. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Shall we all rise?